What were your courses that you remember taking as a chemistry student? Were there a whole broad range of chemistry courses?
Yes, the University of Michigan had a special degree. I think that was because the chemistry department at one time was a separate school. And when they joined the literature, science, and arts school, it kept its special requirements for many more courses in chemistry than an ordinary major in chemistry would require. People who took an ordinary major in chemistry got a Bachelor of Science. Those who took the special courses got a Bachelor of Science in chemistry. In addition to chemistry, of course, there were a good many physics courses that were required. And I liked mathematics, so I went beyond calculus because I liked it. I took some biology. The more cultural courses, I think I only took the absolute minimum required courses for a degree in the LFA school.
Are there any courses or professors who really stick out in your memory as being really being important to you as an undergraduate?
Yes. I think one of the reasons I took a lot of mathematics courses was because I like people who were teaching the courses. There was a Professor Rainville, although that was more in graduate school than in undergraduate. I remember the face of the man I had for a number of undergraduate courses, but I can't remember his name. But because, again, I felt as if I were learning things properly, I took a number of undergraduate courses from him.
Elder.
Elder, yes. That's right. Thank you. In undergraduate physics, really no one in particular stands out in my mind. In undergraduate chemistry, there was Professor Bachmann, who was not only a very talented organic chemist, but he was an excellent teacher. And he also liked teaching well enough that he would come into the organic laboratories, of course, as he was not teaching, to sort of look over students' shoulders and point out various things that they could improve in their experimentation. All in a very nice way, of course, not critical at all. He was very good. Unfortunately, he died at too young an age. Other teachers were good lecturers, presented the subject well, but were not very personable.
Was there any particular area of chemistry that you thought you would concentrate on as you decided to move into graduate school?
Well, it was not analytical chemistry. When I took organic chemistry, I liked that. And then when I took physical chemistry after that, I think I liked that even better. And when I went on to graduate school, I stayed at the University of Michigan for all of my education. Again, the master's degree was mostly spent in taking coursework, a lot of coursework, which prepared us for all of the examinations that were required for pursuing the PhD. There was not much research even then. But at that time, Lawrence Brockway had come to the University of Michigan about 2 years previously. I had him for the physical chemistry course, and he asked if I would like to be his graduate student, and I accepted.
Mm-hmm. That was the graduate level physical chemistry?
No, it was a senior. Well, for those people who are getting a Bachelor of Science in Chemistry, a special degree, one took it as a senior.
Okay.
But a good many students who came from other schools as graduate students were required to take that course also, so that there were quite a number of graduate students in the senior chemist, physical chemistry course.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you met your husband?
Yes. I was a senior, he was a graduate student.
Is it true you met at the first time? Is that the, you were opposite each other in the first laboratory? Is that the?
Well, yes, and next to each other, or alphabetical order.
Two adjoining desks, actually. Or try to vaguely remember that they were up against the wall, and Isabella was here. The only thing is that I had gotten in there before the first period and had already set the apparatus up. She came in, took a look at that apparatus, all ready to go, and had some negative impressions of it.
Here was a true competitor. I mean, I never had any true competitors before.
How did you react to that?
Well, she showed similar signs throughout the year. Actually, it was an interesting experience for both of us. I, as will come out when we chat, was very familiar with young people who were extremely bright and extremely talented and far ahead of the standard timing in schools. But I had always gone to schools of which there were only boys. And it was a bit of a shock to me to see such a young girl be so far along in complicated subjects and be so bright. And I think I'm correct in saying, because I've heard Isabella say it several times, that I was the first real competition that she ever had in school. So I think that there was a little bit of trauma on both sides.
When you were an undergraduate in Michigan, your peers and amongst the chemistry students, were many of them preparing to go on to graduate work in chemistry? What do you recall of their career aspirations?
As I remember, by the time we were seniors, the number of undergraduates, well, the number of students who are now specializing in chemistry for the special degree had become quite small, perhaps 15 or 20. And a few of them went on to medical school. I would say perhaps half of them were intending to go on into industry, and the remainder to graduate school. So it wasn't really a very large number after that. Some stayed at Michigan. Most went. Should I say most? And I'd say more than half of them stayed at Michigan for graduate school, of those who are going on to graduate school. Of course, we graduated in 41, and that was the middle of World War II. A number of them who were intending to go to graduate school, however, had also been in the officer reserve corps. And so they were obligated to go off to the army, and they went. It wasn't until they came back after the war that they went on to graduate school. They would have immediately if they could have.
Did the faculty encourage students to go on to graduate study?
The faculty did. The boys, yes. Well, by that time there were two of us. No, I'm sorry. There was Helen Barnett, and she went off to industry. She went to, she was a very attractive young lady, and she went to one of the pharmaceutical houses on the East Coast. I don't. You remember which one?
Oh, yes, I remember which one. Let's see if I can think of it. I can't think of it now, but I'll think of it.
And then another one was Charles Lucht, L-U-C-H-T, who spent 1 year in graduate school at Michigan and then went off to General Electric. And she married, in fact, she married a crystallographer, John Casper. And it's, I think he retired recently, yes.
It's spelled with a K.
Mm-hmm. So of those chemistry students who were women, they were really actively discouraged from going on.
I don't know if they were ever really encouraged to go on. I think that they had made up their mind some time before that they were going to leave at that point and go on with their lives otherwise.
I had asked you about the attitude of the faculty towards mm-hmm. them. What about the other chemistry majors, the male chemistry majors? How did they react to having three of you at that point?
Well, they reacted differently to different ones of us. I mean, Helen was very attractive.
When they looked at Helen, they thought of a different kind of chemistry.
But certainly intellectually, you were at the top of your class, and so I wondered whether that, and you were much younger than they were too, so that combination.
There was John Dice. He spent most of his time with Park Davis and company. And he retired recently. And we always got along very well. We played tennis together a lot during our chemistry days together. And he eventually got his PhD from the University of Michigan, also in organic chemistry. And there was a young man by the name of Fields. And something happened during his graduate days. I mean, we got along well, but something happened during his graduate days and he never finished. Well, at least not at that time, and then I don't know. It wasn't a matter of the Selective Service Board, because they were pretty good in allowing people to finish up their work before that is their degree work, unless they were in the Reserve Officers Corps. I don't know what happened to them. I had some good friends amongst them. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel any particular antagonism by that time. I guess after all these years, they had to get used to me.
Did you have any role model as you were going through developing your science career? Did you have anyone?
No. The closest one could come to it is just about the time I was perhaps a senior in college. Eve Curie wrote the biography of Marie. And I thought that was great. But that was about the only... model, if you could call it that. I mean, I did enjoy my high school chemistry teacher, but I didn't want to become a teacher. So it wasn't that.
And you had an AAUW fellowship, and then you had a Rackham fellowship.
That's correct.
How did those fellowships come about?
I must have had the AAUW fellowship the second year I was a graduate student. And I just applied for it. I remember there was an interview and I got it. Then they were willing to renew it the year after that, which was nice of them, except by that time the Rackham Fellowship had come up. So,
were there any specific professors who were really pushing you for the Rackham, if you recall?
Yes, I don't know who everyone was on the committee, But there was a Professor Case who taught the thermodynamics. I really hadn't had him for any courses ever. But he was instrumental. He told me that he was the one who told me that it was being awarded to me. And I am sure that he had to be very much in favor of it. He was the head of the committee, and I could have just as well picked somebody else in chemistry to have received that fellowship. I don't know if Professor Brockway had any input to this or not. Never did know.
Had you noticed a change in the general attitude of the faculty towards you as you progressed in graduate school?
Oh, yes. After we got our degrees and after we went to Chicago and then came back to Michigan, they actually appointed me as an instructor in the chemistry department, and this was, you know, the same group of faculty members for the most part.
Maybe it's time to turn to
Jerome.
See if we can't also get him to the University of Michigan.
Well, my father's origins were in Austria-occupied Poland. His family lived in a small town that was perhaps 15 or 20 kilometers from Krakow. And the name of the town, its present name, I will spell it, it's Trzebinia. But he knew it and called it Chibin, so that the IA in those days was not included in the name. His father was an artistic man, and throughout his life in the main, he not only did straightforward house painting, but he got commissions to sculpt and decorate ceilings and so forth, presumably in the wealthier houses, ultimately in New York City. And I understand that he left his native town to study in other capitals of Europe when he was a young man. At the time that there were three children in the family, he left Poland to come to the United States. And I thought that it was rather strange that he wound up in New Orleans, but it isn't at all, because in those days New Orleans was a very popular port for new immigrants to use as a port of entry for the United mm-hmm. States. But I'm sure that its art colony down there attracted him, and he stayed down there. I don't know what happened exactly, but it was, I think, taking him a little bit too long to get the money together to bring his family over, and so somehow or other, my grandmother took the initiative, and her three children, and when my father was 5 years old, the other two children were older. I think his older brother was about 2 years older, and his older sister was perhaps 5 years older. She managed to scrape together what it took to bring them to the United States in steerage. She landed in New York. My father remembered all his life the awful crossing of the Channel. Apparently everybody was terribly sick. It was very rough weather. And he told me that they finally left England at Liverpool, came to the States. When my grandmother got to New York, she caught up with her husband in New Orleans, and he came home. They had numerous more children. I don't know how many, because see, there were six who survived to adulthood. It was indeed an artistic family. Two aunts made the living later in life by being part of the commercial art scene in New York City. The oldest sister had an excellent voice and was going to at least I suppose with the objective of ultimately being in the opera and so forth. However, she married a gentleman by the name of Ivan Olinsky, and for whatever reasons that put an end to her artistic career. But he was an artist, and taught for many years, for example, at the Art Students League in New York City, and was very well known. My father's brother, Dave, the one who was 2 years older than he, studied for many years as an artist in Europe, perhaps 10, and his profession was to teach art and do a lot of portrait painting. He made his living that way. He was offered a position at in the art department to teach at City College in New York, and he told me that he got as far as the subway, but doing anything on a regular schedule was absolutely impossible for him, so he turned around and went home. I knew the head of the art department very well when I attended City College, and he would tell me from time to time that he tried very hard to get my uncle to come and teach, but was unsuccessful. He was a very nice gentleman. His name was Mr. Egar, E-G-G-A-R. My mother's family came from the southern part of Russia, known as Georgia. She never was sure whether she was born there or on the ship coming over or in Manhattan. But in her 60s, she made an inquiry and found that she did have a birth certificate in Manhattan, but it didn't indicate specifically where she was born. Her mother didn't survive very long. She died in childbirth with the next child. And my grandfather had four young children, and that was too much for him. So he kept two of them, and two of them were adopted out by either close relatives or close relatives of relatives. And it so happened that my mother was adopted by relatives through marriage who had come from Hungary. And amongst other things, my mother grew up being absolutely fluent in the Hungarian language. And I had the pleasure of knowing and meeting many Hungarians as I was growing up. And I found this to be a special experience, which I actually appreciated from a young age. There are many of them who just have their own view of life. There's a kind of a joy of life, a joie de vivre, kind of a spirit about them that's joyous, fun-loving, free-spirited, and crazy. And that environment sort of made things more enjoyable around the house. My mother had a good education for those days. She had a very fine talent for the piano. She played piano and organ. She taught, gave lessons when she was still fairly young herself, maybe 16, 17 years old. She didn't try to make it a public profession. But she belonged to various sororities and groups of that sort, and she would be the one who would play the piano or the organ at the various meetings and festivities and so forth. I learned to play the piano, and she had perfect pitch. And if I ever hit a wrong note, I would hear her voice calling out from the other end of the house. Not only bringing it to my attention, which I knew darn well, but telling me exactly which one I should have struck. She had great ambitions for me to become a concert pianist. And much to my chagrin, she would enter me into yearly contests that were called Music Week contests in New York City that would promote music, and they had their good points. But I always had a disdain for those kinds of competitions and disliked those kinds of competitive public appearances. And I think that it sort of set my mind against that as a grown-up activity. Well, I got some medals, but that didn't change my mind.